As I said to the children, this morning I want to, as the invitation to the Lord's table this morning, I want to describe to you the love of God. I want to remind you of it. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we could look at the scriptures that tell us about God's love for us, and that's good to do. That's important. The one we read is a call to worship that says that this is how we know that God loves us, that he allowed Jesus Christ to die for us. That's a great statement. It's an important truth. And there are others like that in scripture. But how is there some other way that we can, in some faint way, understand how much God loves us? The answer to that question, I think, is in the account of the crucifixion, and all four of them in the Gospels, but especially in this description in Matthew and in Mark, where Jesus shouts out this cry, this thing, my God, why have you forsaken me? There is in that statement, in that question, information that leads us into, hopefully, a deeper understanding of how much God loves us. Because in that statement, there's something about the depth and the vividness of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Some years ago, there was a movie that was seen by many, many people entitled The Passion of the Christ. And in that movie, the director sought to portray the suffering of Jesus Christ. And at one level, he did a really good job. If you saw the movie, you know it was almost grotesque in its violence. It was almost unwatchable as we beheld the physical suffering of Jesus Christ. I went to see the movie, and at times I averted my eyes. I remember the one scene where Jesus is nailed to the cross, and he's nailed to the cross facing up, and they turn the cross over. And I thought, that, talk about suffering. And in that way, in a very limited way, we can see what the cross, what the sacrifice of Jesus Christ cost him. And when we see that, then we begin to see a glimpse of how much God loves us in that he allowed his son to go through that suffering. But the reality is that that portrayal of the suffering of Christ misses the point. It so misses a point about the suffering of Jesus Christ, it's almost as if it's telling a different story. The real suffering of Christ is not about what was done to him physically, not the beating, not the nails, not the suffocation. The suffering of Christ is captured in the question Jesus asks, my God, why have you forsaken me? And indeed, God had forsaken him. This is not a play on words. It is not to be a poetic statement. It is not to be a teaching moment. Jesus is crying out because he is experiencing for the first time in all eternity. Remember, the Father and the Son have been in relationship for eternity. It had no beginning. It's always been. And now, at this moment, it's no longer there. The Father's presence is no longer there. The Father has turned away. Why? Because according to the Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ took upon himself our sins. He became sin for us. And the Father could not look upon sin. And he looked away. And Jesus was left alone on the cross, for the first time in eternity, he was left alone. How much did Christ suffer? These words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Tell us much. To be forsaken means to be separated, to be abandoned, to be deserted. I've always thought that the word forsaken is obviously an excellent word, but the word abandoned, somehow that speaks to me more. Jesus Christ, in the midst of this suffering, in the midst of the physical suffering, and in the midst of taking upon himself the sin of all the world, felt abandoned. Not only by his disciples, not only by the people who have been following him, but more importantly, more basically, more fundamentally, God Almighty, his Father, had abandoned him. Someone puts it this way. When Jesus took upon himself our sins, the sins of all humanity, he stood where no one else had stood before or since, becoming at that one tiny point in time and space the enormity of all human sin. When I came across that statement, at that point in time and space, he became the enormity of all human sin. There was banging around in my head some little bit of trivia. It had to do with, I thought I read somewhere about this thing in space that is so concentrated that it weighs an immense amount of weight. So I looked it up. And this is what I found. That thing that I was thinking is a neutron star. It is so, and it happens when a sun, a gigantic star, collapses. A gigantic star that is anywhere from 10 to 100 times larger than our sun. It collapses, and much of the material is scattered, but much of it is compressed into a small space. How compressed, how condensed? A teaspoon of a neutron star on Earth would weigh around 1 billion tons. According to NASA, that is the estimated weight of Mount Everest in a teaspoon. That's what Jesus did for us with sin. He took all the sin before and after. In all the history of humanity, he took it all, and it was on him. The weight of that exceeded any neutron star. That's what he did for us, and that's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The other word is, of course, God. Forsaken tells us, his use of the word God tells us something as well. Never before in his ministry on earth, in his communication with the Father, never before in his prayers, and not even at his most stressful time before the cross, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when it says he bled, his sweat was like drops of blood, when he was in turmoil, and when he was suffering in the spirit, and he asks the Father, all things are possible with you. If it's possible, let this destiny pass from me. He's never said anything like that before. He says it there the night before the crucifixion. But when he said that, when he uttered that prayer, he said, Abba, Father, if possible, let this destiny pass from me. He doesn't say that on the cross. Never before has he addressed God Almighty, his Father, in this way. On the cross, it's not Abba, Father, it's my God. He's never done that. Why does he do it now? Because he feels the full weight of being separated from his Father. And he cannot say, Abba, Father. He has to say, my God. Some people argue that, well, he's quoting from Psalm 22, that this is kind of a teaching moment. No, it's not. It's a scream telling us something about the suffering. This text, this question, is, if you will, a fleeting, minuscule, vanishingly small glimpse of the suffering of Christ and the depth of his love for us. It is like a very faint whisper. We can just barely hear. And if we could hear it all, it would be a grand symphony. But all we can hear is just a little faint sound. That's what God has given us in his word. A whisper. A whisper of a clue into how much he loves us. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus said it for us. Let's pray.